You know, that kind of makes me feel bad. But when I get with you, I don't feel bad. I feel really good. Tonight, this message, it can be applied to children, but it can be applied to adults. It is on the man, the prophet Jonah. And I want you to understand that we have a lot in common with Jonah, adults as well as children. And the fact is, every single one of us need to hear and have it repeated again and again about obedience. You heard it sung, and you'll hear it preached now. And the fact is, when you obey, there is great blessing. If you don't obey, there is great conflict. And you'll see that in the life of this man tonight. Now, I know that you have not been swallowed by a fish. I know that. Now, you might be better off if you had been, or some of you look like you have been, but the fact is you've not been swallowed by a fish. So I want you to hear me carefully now, because you're going to see tonight and hear about this. Here is this prophet. He's an Israelite. He's a Hebrew. He's a great man. He does love the Lord. He's been at it for a long time under the call of Almighty God. So tonight you'll see Jonah prophesying. You'll see him listening. You'll see him running. You'll see him buying a ticket. You'll see him boarding a ship. You'll see him sleeping. You'll see him talking. You'll see him swimming. You'll see him wandering. You'll see him landing. You'll see him traveling. You'll see him prophesying. You'll see him complaining, and you'll see him angering. You'll see all of that tonight. So, here is the man. He is ministering to the Hebrews. And God says to him, I want you to go from here over to this huge, gigantic city called Nineveh. There, I want you to preach to them. Now, what does Jonah do? He would think a prophet of God would go right away and do just exactly what God says do. You would think that the Christian would go right away and do exactly what God says do. But no, no, no. He turns and he runs down to a place called Joppa. And when he gets to Joppa, he wants to buy a ticket on a vessel, on a ship, so that he can sail to Tarshish. And he does. He buys the ticket, he boards the vessel, he gets on the vessel, and they leave the coastline and they start out, but it isn't long until there is a storm at sea. I remember in the islands of Hawaii, I was on the large island, and it was one night way up high, standing on the rocks, and you could hear the ocean as it crashed against the rocks below and sprayed the water way up high. And it was so powerful that it could pick rocks up off the bottom of the ocean and roll them up on the beach close to those great big rocks. And this was a terrible storm. I mean, a terrible storm. And they suddenly realized that the vessel was to and fro and going here and there, and they didn't know what to do. And so they finally decided, the shipmaster, the captain, he said, what is all this trouble for? And he said, I'm going to find out. He goes downstairs in that ship, and in the bottom of the vessel, here is this prophet of God, and he's sleeping. Woo-hoo! He is sleeping when the storm is raging and the vessel is vacillating back and forth. And the shipmaster said, oh, sleeper, awake. What are you doing sleeping down here? What is the reason for all of this storm? We need you to come up and tell us. And so Jonah goes upstairs and in front of all the mariners, that's the men on the ship, and he begins to talk about, because they say, who are you? And he said, well, I'm a Hebrew. And he said, I've come down here. And he explains to them how he's run from God. He's honest about it. And he says to them, I'm running from God. God wanted me to go to Nineveh, and I decided not to do it. And so I came down here, and I'm here because I just, well, the fact is, he disobeyed God. And so they said, well, what are we going to do about all this storm? The raging of the waves and the huge waves washing over the top of the vessel. And they don't know what to do. And they said, what can we do about this? And Jonah, in his honesty, he said, I can tell you what to do. What? You can throw me overboard. What? Yeah, you can throw me over. Oh, these men didn't want to throw him overboard. They thought about it and they thought about it and they said, "What if you're disobeying your God, maybe your God could save us." Oh, he said, he'll save you if you throw me overboard. And so, oh, they didn't want to. They really didn't want to. So they grab him and they toss him and splash into that turbulent water. I mean, it is rolling just like this. And nobody could possibly swim in it. But suddenly, it's calm. I mean, it's so calm. You could see your face reflected in it. And the mariners are happy. And the shipmaster is happy. Jonah is not happy. And everything is quiet. And suddenly, Jonah senses something. There is something stirring underneath the surface of the water. It's not a wave. What is it? It's getting nearer. What is this? Suddenly, no more Jonah. And the mariners, I don't know what they thought, but I'll tell you what. I know what Jonah thought. And he's down in the belly of the great big fish with all this moss around him. And the air is not clean. And he can... Woo! That stinks. Well, do you know where you are? You're in the belly of the fish, bud. I don't want to be in the belly of the fish. Yeah, well, you should have thought about that a long time back. But you're in the belly of the... In fact, for 3 days and three nights, he's in the belly of the fish. It does not smell good. It does not look good. Well, he can't see. It's dark. No lights in the belly of a fish. And he prays. And he prays and asks God. And Almighty God in His wonderful mercy. Almighty God in His wonderful mercy. Almighty God in His wonderful mercy. He speaks to this huge fish. And the fish listens carefully. And the fish is more obedient than Jonah was. And the Lord tells the fish, well, I don't know whether you would call it a burp. Or all I know is that he tossed his cookies. And along with it was Jonah. And Jonah, pow, lands on the beachhead. And he jumps up and he runs this time. He's not going to disobey God. He doesn't want any more experiences like this. So he runs and he makes his way to Nineveh. And it's a huge city. It takes 3 days to cross this huge city. And God had said, I want you to go there. I want you to prophesy. I want you to talk to them. I want you to preach to them. And he does, and he tells them exactly what God wanted him to say. 40 days, only 40 days, and you're going to be destroyed. What? All the children, thousands of children, and you'll be destroyed. And the king listens more carefully than did Jonah. And he makes a proclamation, meaning he tells all the people in all the city that they are to put on sackcloth and sit in ashes and eat nothing and drink nothing. And it includes the animals. So the animals get no water. The animals get no food. And every one of them repent of their sin. Repent of their sin. And God is looking. And God is listening. He always does. And as he hears their cry, he then saves them. They repent and they're delivered from the future destiny of a terrible place called hell. Now here's Jonah. You would think that he is... Woo! Woo! Wonderful. Wonderful. They've repented of their sin. I've been preaching about this to my own people, and my own people won't repent of their sin. And you would think he would go... But he didn't. In fact, he was disappointed. What? You mean to tell me that when someone repents and their future is turned from a destiny of damnation and burning to a place of paradise, and he wouldn't rejoice? Jonah, what's the matter with you? That is a good question. And here he is disappointed, and here he is upset, and he goes outside the city, and he sits down to watch what's going to go on with this city, out of which have come all of this people repenting, and he listens. And God, in his mercy, he prepares a gourd, and it grows up quickly in order to shade this man Jonah from the sun the next day. Oh, a merciful God, a wonderful God, a delivering God, a saving God. And then when this gourd produces a palmarist plant, and there is leaves that cover the head of Jonah, and he's in a little hut that he's built, and therefore he feels good, and there may be a nice breeze blowing, but God in his mercy and in his testing and in his way, God then prepares a worm, and the worm eats the root of the gourd, and the gourd dies and it withers, and it leaves the head of Jonah out in the hot sun. And then he says to God, it's better for me if I die. What? Do you know what you're talking about? You say you'd rather die? I would rather. Twice he says that. And the Lord God said, doest thou well to be angry?
I do. I do well to be angry.
You know what he's got? He's got the poochy lip disease. Yeah, he's got a bad attitude. I mean, he needs an adjustment. You know what? God wanted him to be adjusted. But he didn't. And as far as we know, he kept his bad attitude. And he went into eternity with a bad attitude. Now let me ask you a question. There's no fish that's going to swallow you. But there is a God who saved you. And this God who saved you, he wants to keep you on the front row here. He wants to keep you for himself. On the second row here, he wants to keep you for himself. And all the way back, that's why there's been a summer program. That's why Brother Steve has conducted the music and run the program. That's why Brother Clay has worked hard. That's why Mrs. Schreiber has worked hard and others along with them, and they've worked all through the summer in order to provide for you so that you might come tonight and that you might come to this program and that you might serve the living God. And if you're not saved, you could trust Jesus and be saved tonight. But if you're saved, hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. If you're saved, don't get a bad attitude. Did you know that there are adults that get a bad attitude? And their face shows it. Don't get a bad attitude. If your heart is right, your face will be happy. If your heart keeps right, if your heart keeps right. Woo! And if your heart is right, guess what? Your face is gonna... Just like this. Yeah, amen, Anna. Good. Woo, woo, woo. I like it when young people smile. I hate it when young people frown. Don't frown. Smile. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good to us. We are so blessed. We want our hearts and lives to count for you. Every single one of these children. Lord God, every single one of these children, they're so precious in your sight. And you want to use them for all of their lives. So in the name of Jesus, help us. For Jesus' sake, amen.